This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
The Great Fry Debate, and you'll hear coming up, we read a list from a company, like a fast food group. They do, I don't know, it's called Best Foods or something.
Food Beast,
that's it. Food monsters, food bestiality, if you've ever wanted to see a Big Mac have sex with an animal. The potato wedge, is it a fry? People checked in afterwards being like, what constitutes a fry? The curly fry. Some people said the curly fry shouldn't count because of the shape.
Let's not do this, people, please. Okay, Jesus Christ. I got the thing here. It said that it had to be from a single potato. You want to know the parameters? I got it right here. Best fries, the folks at Food Beast only considered fries made from single cuts from a whole potato. Mm-hmm. No onion rings, no tater tots. Mm-hmm. But they did include curly, crisp, crut wedges in their list.
So there you go.
They had
the potato
parameters.
Wedge, the curly fry, the crinkle cut. And you know what I am missing off of here? A good shoestring fry.
I don't like shoestring.
Love shoestring fries.
They get cold too quick. They get cold too quick. They get hard.
You got to eat them quick.
And they get, you got to get them hot and quick. Otherwise, they get hard and cold and weird.
Scott, homework assignment for you. You're the guy that taught us how to reheat pizza in the frying pan. If you could, with a team of scientists and food researchers, figure out a way to reheat the fast food French fry to where it's as close to the original form as possible,
very difficult.
You could usher us into a new golden age. Because so many of these fries, you either got to eat quick or you're not eating at all.
Yeah, we were at some place the other day. I can't remember where it was. But Chiquita wanted to get a doggy bag. We always take food home. By the way, that should be a discussion, Mike, one day. Doggy bag or no doggy bag?
Mm-hmm.
My sister-in-law and brother-in-law, they look at us like we have eight heads when we always take food home with us. Always. If there's food left over, it's coming home with us. We'll eat it. We'll reheat it. We'll use it for lunches. We'll use it for whatever.
Yeah.
She wanted to take fries home the other day, and I was like, you're a psychopath.
No.
They're no good.
No, they turn into
nothing you could do with them.
Cold, flavorless plastic. Maybe we'll work on that. We'll do a little research this week. But we did a list of the top 10 best fast food fries you checked in also. Let's hear it again on Behind the Curtain. Mike Anderson has long championed the Five Guys French fry. Me, I have never driven past a Chick-fil-A that I haven't wanted to break in on a Sunday to steal their waffle fries and Checkers. Shut up. Shut up. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Their fries are so good. I love a French fry.
Love fries.
Fries are, they're my two seed, frankly. Number ones are chips. By the way, looking to get a co-host for a new podcast called Chip Chat. All chips, once a week. And there's a list out from, I believe it is a Food Beast, Michael?
Yeah, Food Beast.
Food Beast.
Food Beast.
Food Beast, 410-338-1098 if you want to chime in. And there's a post at the Facebook page, facebook.com/JSS98Rock. Immediately, an old friend, Craigerson, Triple C, says any list that has two varieties of crinkle cut fries is no list I trust. And Craig, I'm hard pressed to disagree with you.
Too.
Del Taco? Del Taco doesn't even do tacos right. I've been to Del Taco.
I don't even know what Del Taco is.
Del Taco is
a Western thing?
It's a thing out west. It's like from Cali in. Del Taco is not a good place. Del Taco.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at their menu because I'm not familiar either. And it had like tacos and burgers and like hot. It was way too many.
Do
menu
one
items.
Thing right.
Yeah, right.
And their fries are not good. It's like, what's the other huge taco place out there? There's Del Taco and there's the other one. But Del Taco.
Moe's?
No, Moe's is actually pretty good. But yeah, their crinkle cut fries aren't great. They're too, if you're going to do like crinkle cut fries, it needs to be the frozen bagged Orida from the oven or a fryer.
Yeah, I've historically mother effed the crinkle cut, but I will say a Shake Shack does them the best.
Mike's working blue today.
Yeah, number 10 on the list from Food Beast are potato wedges from KFC. It's a strong. Okay. It's a lot of like we got a place around here that does the potato wedges.
The potato wedge.
You kidding me? Mm. Can't shovel them in fast enough.
Exactly. Like when there's nothing better. Okay, here's the best Royal Farms potato wedge fry is the one you didn't order but snuck into the box.
Yeah.
When you get like a pack of tenders and some guardian angel from Royal Farms just slid that sumbitch in there. Oh, so good. You want to hit 10 to 1?
Yeah, 10 is the KFC potato wedges. Number 9, seasoned fries from Taco Bell.
They're
new.
So good.
New on the scene.
Shout
making
out.
The list at number 9. Me and Stella made a special trip I made the trip. She was just along for the ride.
What if she drove because daddy was drinking?
And they were good. Cajun fries, Five Guys, number 8. Mike is really upset about
that. Yeah, way too far down the list. And why the Cajun fries, they're good, but their classic fry is great. So, yeah, I can't believe that should be top 3, in my opinion.
I tell you one that's missing off this list. Shout out Lido Pizza does a baked cheese fries with bacon. Lido Pizza does what can they not do right? Lido Pizza does a baked cheese fry that if you get like double the cheese and you let it just kind of congeal, you could slice it like lasagna and serve squares of it. Oh, God.
Number 7 is the crinkle cut fries from Del Taco, which you said are no bueno. Terrible. Cajun fries from Popeyes, number 6. Never had them. I can count on one hand the amount of times I've been to a Popeyes.
Mike won't go anymore to a certain location because they forgot his sauce. They're good. If you like a Checkers seasoned fry, you'll like the Cajun fries there. I enjoy them.
Wendy's natural cut fries. Big fan of the natural cut. Sometimes they have like a little bit of skin on them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do that big flaky salt.
And Wendy's, a tip of the hat to you for acknowledging that your fries from like a decade past were ass, and then you completely changed them, and now they're really tasty.
Number 4, I freaking love these French fries. You got to get them hot. You got to get them right. You can't let them sit too long, but the Shake Shack crinkle cut fry is a strong fry. It says always extra crispy and never soggy. Yeah,
I might have to try them because I don't trust a crinkle fry.
Dude.
But if you sell me on them and they're crunchy,
life-changing.
All right.
Well, and they get points too for having cheese sauce available as well.
Curly fries from Arby's is number 3. The waffle fry, Chick-fil-A, coming in number 2.
And number 1 with a fart roll, please.
Good old standby, the classic fries from McDonald's.
Can't beat it, frankly. Mickey D's has owned the game. Mickey D's, we love you. And for years, every couple of months, you'll whip up something fresh, something weird, something new, your Mighty Wings, your apple slices, whatever. And we love the innovation. But you gotta admit, McDonald's, the backbone of their business, it's not the Big Mac, it's not the quarter pounder, it's not the dollar menu, it's that fry, man.
Classic, straight up, good old, crunchy, golden, thin French fry.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you one thing, though, and all the chains are doing this now. We know they got rid of the supersize a long time ago, but now they're getting rid of like sizes with their fries in general. I went to Burger King the other week and asked for a large fry, and they only have one size now.
Oh, really?
Why?
Yeah, I'm like, what, I got two orders to get a decent...
Burger King, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Once a week, I let myself go crazy.
And the other week was Burger King. What'd you get?
I got the Bacon King.
Ooh.
Also, do the chicken fries count? That's just chicken in a stick form, right?
No, that's not a fry.
Okay, people are saying. You talk about places you've never went to, but I hear people just throwing their hands up in the air like they just don't care. Is it Zaxby's?
Yeah.
You been to a Zaxby's before?
No. I think if there is still one, it was over by Golden Ring. I don't know if it's still there.
Where is a Zaxby's? Because I hear people saying how great that place is. I want to go. Well, I mean, what is this? Is it a chicken joint? Is it a fast food joint?
It's like a sit down place.
It's got like the rooster is the logo. Oh wow, there's one just outside of DC. I think it's in maybe it's in Virginia. There's one in Richmond. We're going on a road trip. We're going to Zaxby's. We're stopping by Lido on the way.
Yeah, calls.
Let's go to the calls real quick. 410-338-1098.
Dairy Queen. Once again, I would not be familiar with a Dairy Queen fry.
Let's go to Justin Frederick. Good morning.
Talk about these fries, make me hungry.
Oh man,
yeah, Checkers hit the spot.
So good, so good. And tell me those things.
What is the Checker fry?
The Checker fry. Describe the Checker fry, Justin. What does it for you?
Well, it's seasoned perfectly. They're always hot and a little greasy, but not too greasy.
Oh, okay, I'm looking at Checker fries. Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Justin.
They got they do have seasoning on them. They appear to be an orangish color, which I think is from a little bit of seasoning, and there's speckling on them, which is probably also seasoning.
And they're so crunchy, and like he said, people think greasy is a negative annotation. If it's drenched in grease, okay, but a little bit of grease.
You need it.
Yeah, let me get a little shine on my fingertips. I got no problem with that. I don't want it dripping off of the fry, but if you get a little grease to it, I have no problem with it. And yeah, a Checkers fry or whatever they call that restaurant if it's not Checkers. Like it's like how there's what the hell is it? There's Hardee's and it's got another name out west. Checkers has like another name in certain parts of the country. Let's go to Joe in Bel Air. Joe in Bel Air checking in. What's up?
Long-time listener. Been listening to you guys every morning for 5 years now.
Wow.
You got the new Mike shirt?
Anderson.
Get the new shirt?
I don't.
All right.
Mike Anderson now has been talking about Five Guys and how they're so great.
Yeah.
My parents actually owned a competitor to Five Guys called Jake's Wayback Burgers.
Whoa, what the
if
heck?
If you guys are ever up in the Festival of Bel Air or in Parkville, Sader Hill area, our fries, burgers are comparable, if not better, to Five Guys. We have people come from Five Guys and say that they're way better.
Mike, do you take a road trip to test this man's claims?
I'll give it a shot. Sure, I'll give anybody a shot.
I'll put him on hold.
Jake's, what is it? Jake's Way Back Burgers.
Jake's Way Up There Burgers. I ain't driving all the way to Bel Air. Let's go to line one. Oh, we slept on these guys, not just for the quality of the fry, but for the availability of them. Jay Manchester, good morning.
It's not really a fast food, but I'm going to have to say the Red Robin Steak Fry.
Steak Fry.
Steak fry is a good fry. Yum. And they're refillable.
Yeah, bottomless fries.
Bottomless fries, yes. Yeah. Much like me in prison on my first day. Bottomless.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So we had a bit of a shift in a topic on Wednesday. We were going to talk about these, like, sell your home sign, whatever things. And then this, you know, story started catching some traction in the middle of sports about this Buffalo Bills player who was acting crazy, this wide receiver. His brother had to calm him down. And we do what we like to call we pivot. We pivoted in the middle of the show where we abandoned one topic and moved on to the next. Because this whole fascination with what this guy, this Buffalo Bill, might have been on really piqued our curiosity. And some folks said, maybe, hypothetically, it was PCP. So we started opening up the PCP lines. And we got texts, we got calls, and most of them, terrifying you to the uses of PCP and Sherm. But it's the one guy that texted in saying, hey, everything in moderation. Like, this isn't sugar or butter. Or whipped cream or, you know, cheese. This is PCP.
Yeah.
I don't think this is something you could just, like, dabble with lightly on the weekends and then go back to your work as an oncologist.
I don't know. Watch that guy that I told you about from Viceland.
Okay.
He just, he kind of snorts a little bit of it and has a great day.
I'm going to have to take that guy's word for it.
His tolerance is probably through the effing roof.
Exactly.
And he's probably had some fit-throwing hell rides in the 70 years he's been on this planet, you know, while experimenting. You only see the, you know, what he's like now. You don't see the bad side of it.
So, Josh, let me give you a hypothetical here, because we were joking about, you'll hear in this break coming up, about you getting your own, like, medicinal marijuana card.
Yeah.
Pot aside, mushrooms aside, you're given three choices. To legally do one of these three drugs, cocaine, PCP, or heroin, with no legal ramifications. Sure, you're going to feel the effects, but you can do it free and clear.
I'm going to do PCP, but I want to be in a cage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to cage that boy. Here's the thing. You'll probably rip the cage door open.
That's the plan.
Delusions of grandeur, paranoia, extreme hallucinations, all from doing PCP. Angel dust. We got into a talk about it on Wednesday on Behind the Curtain. Continuing a story from last hour, too. We were talking about a guy, Zay Jones.
Yeah.
From the Buffalo Bills, who had this big freak out 30 stories up at some penthouse. And his brother had to try and keep him from diving out of a window while he seemed to be jacked up on something. A guy called up, EMT, says he's seen that before.
Yeah.
With people on PCP. And some other folks have checked in. Again, all speculation. We'll wait until we hear officially from the league or the team doctor. But some other folks are saying, yeah, this guy probably got himself a bad batch.
Oof.
And this guy thought he was twisting up a spliff, smoked something screwed up, thought God was talking to him, and had to dive out of the window to fight for the Lord. I'm wondering, you think there's anybody in our listening audience that has actually tried PCP?
Oh, yeah. My roommate in college got kicked out of school for he accidentally did PCP. Somebody had it laced in a blunt, and he ended up getting naked and fighting a bunch of people.
Now, Mike, what's a blunt?
What is a blunt? It's
I think they call them dippers.
Well, you can be bluntly honest with someone, but I don't think that's what you mean.
No, I think this is from the...
PCP is a liquid. And I think I've seen... What was I watching? I've seen a show.
The View.
About probably The View.
And I think it was like Whoopi.
Whoopi had a jar of... It's like a clear liquid, and you take a cigarette and you dip it in there. And then you light it and you smoke it like that. And if you only smoke a little bit of it, it kind of zonks you out. It's like an anesthetic. It makes you a zombie.
Yeah.
But then I guess if you keep smoking it, it has that adverse effect that turns you into a psychopath.
It's known as angel dust, hog, rocket fuel, ozone.
Am I not thinking about, what is that? Is that PCP rocket right fuel. There?
But yeah, you're right. They do dip cigarettes in the liquid.
Yeah, it's called a Sherm, man. A Sherm stick. You dip in that liquid. Scott's right. I can't believe I was actually right for the first time ever last hour when I called it a Sherm. 410-338-1098.
Isn't a woolly something? Opening up the PCP lines. A woolly, a dipper, a Sherm.
Rocket fuel. Still can't believe they call it hog.
One of these days, I'm going to do drugs.
Do it. Oh, I can't wait.
They opened the dispensary right on York Road, half mile from my house, a medical marijuana dispensary. I mean, it's literally, it's like a Bed Bath & Beyond. There's a, you get some coffee, and then you get weed. Right there.
I want the hard stuff.
Yeah.
It's insane.
How far we've come as a society, huh? How about that? I mean, they throw you in jail for 6 months back in the day if you got caught with weed when I was in school.
God, I really, yes.
Now he's selling on a corner next to the Target.
I think I really want to talk to someone. I want to open up the PCP lines.
Okay.
Who else is doing that? Opening the PCP lines to you.
The texter says, I've done plenty of PCP. Call that person.
Oh, no.
I've tried every drug, and PCP was not one of my favorites.
How much is plenty?
Here's another question. Have you played a sport on PCP?
No.
You know,
I've never done anything on PCP because I've never tried PCP.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that's maybe like run a 5K or played a basketball game or a football game or...
They ran a 5K in a phone booth
haven't competed in the biathlon in the Olympics on PCP when you're carrying a shotgun.
You give me some PCP, I'll be in a biathlon real quick. PCP.
Yeah, I know you got secrets. Everybody got secrets. Didn't know you liked to get wet, though.
What's wet?
Butt naked. Ill. Churn. Dust. PCP. Primos. P-Dog. That's what you had. That's what you were smoking. You couldn't taste it.
No, I never done it.
You have now. I haven't, but you have.
Training day. How effing tense is the scene? With
is that
those
the car
two in the
scene,
car.
Sitting in a car?
Oh, man. Smoke this. God, that's so tense.
Reason you like to get wet?
I didn't know you like to get wet. Get that Sherm butt naked. PCP, otherwise known as angel dust, ozone, rocket fuel, hog, trank, Peter Pan, lethal weapon.
Apparently a woolly is cocaine sprinkled on weed. That's a woolly.
A woolly.
And I might have been thinking about the one that kind of makes you a zombie, and it's another form of a dipper. Instead of dipping it in PCP, you dip it in formaldehyde. And you smoke that.
I think it's called a dipper. Our buddy John G says he did that when he was younger.
Formaldehyde?
He did PCP and formaldehyde. Good God. This all stems from, again, just hypothesizing here, but the Bills, wide receiver, Zay Jones, nude, bloody, arrested, penthouse, meltdown, destruction of property. His brother had to keep him from trying to dive out of a 30-story window while he was screaming, I'm going to fight for Jesus. Some EMTs checked in, said that they've seen that before on calls. We see these guys all shermed out. They're going nuts.
Dude, TMZ Sports.
Oh, dude, the video.
Look at the windows that he smashed, blood-covered smashed windows, nude.
Wow.
Hotel hallway.
Yeah, the footage is crazy. I mean, it might even be worth playing if we can clean the audio up. I think there's some F-bombs. Not to say it couldn't have been worse. It could have been that new stuff they call an angel jackpot made from grits and fabric softener. How about that basketball purple? Kids try to parties. Next thing they know, they're at an S&M club getting paid to make ASMR videos about labradoodles. Everyone's out there getting wet. So we open the phone lines to you. This is a world I'll never know. It's a world I'll never want to know. I mean, sure, in my younger years, I might have, twisted up a spliff. Might have had myself some fun guy, because I'm a fun guy. But this stuff here, nothing that's going to have me want to, like, slap a rear naked choke on a police horse or eat a TV. I remember that in the first Terminator film when the T-800 punched through the windshield and the cop was like, guy was probably high on angel dust, shattered every bone in his hand, didn't feel a thing.
Somebody says Dipper costs about $20. $20 a pop and they make you feel invincible.
God, sounds like it.
You can dip. You can put PCP on anything, even parsley. Tried it when I was 15. It was fantastic.
Wow. It started in the 1950s under the brand name Cernil. It was developed as an anesthetic for use on humans as well as a tranquilizer for large animals. By the 60s, PCP's medical uses were discontinued altogether due to the side effects of the drug that it produced as it wore off, such as intense hallucinations, anxiety, and the feeling of invincibility and delusions of grandeur.
I actually just watched Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia on Viceland, and he goes out. There's a legendary drug experimenter guy, whatever you call those guys, mm-hmm. You know, like a... what's the famous one? The guy that did all the drugs. But anyway, he was...
Timothy Leary?
Yeah, Timothy Leary. He's kind of like a Timothy Leary type guy, and he just experimented with drugs, and he's an artist, and he lives out in the middle of the desert, and he's old. He looks like Gandalf now. He's got long gray hair and a beard, and he just hangs out in his place, and he snorts PCP and then just does art.
You shall smoke!
And Hamilton watches him snort PCP, and you see Hamilton's eyes like bug out, like, oh, man, how is this going to go? And he goes, he snorts a little bit, and he says, let's see where that gets us. Let's see where that gets us.
It's going to get you in the river.
And then he goes downstairs, and he picks up a pen, a pencil, and he has a piece of paper in front of him, and he goes, oh, I'm starting to feel it now. And he just starts doing art. And he's all high on PCP, and he snorts some more. It's really weird.
Crazy. Let's go to Gloria in Pasadena. Gloria, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You sound high on PCP right now.
No, I've never had experience with it, nor do I care to.
Ditto.
But I do remember from DARE class, from school, we had a police officer that was in there, and we were talking about the different drugs, and PCP was one of them, and they explained that it was embalming fluid, and that one time they had a guy that they were chasing in a high-speed chase. He wrecked the car, and apparently his leg was completely severed, and he got out and tried to run from the cops with one leg because he was so hopped up.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The dude didn't even know he was missing a limb and tried to make a break for it. And that man grew up to be our very own fill-in sports guy, Paul Minnemeyer. Now you know the real story. It wasn't a boating accident. It was a PCP-fueled car accident. God, who here remembers DARE? Oh, what a great class that was. Drugs are really expensive. Let's go to Bridget. Oh, checking in from the great state of Texas. Bridget, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing? Are you in Texas right now?
No, I'm driving to work in Columbia, but you asked where I'm from, and I'm military, so I kind of picked Texas.
Oh, well, thank you for listening.
I went a little deep with the question.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. But you say, I hear on the screen, it says you tried it, and your body felt like what?
Like it was water. Like I was 20 years old. Yeah. Slow down.
Did you know that you were taking PCP or
no.
When you slipped it?
No. They offered to roll a blunt, and I'm always down for a blunt. And then 5 minutes later, I felt weird, like I was made out of liquid, and they're all laughing at me, and they're like, you just got wet. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, oh, we laced it with PCP. So I'm 19 with six dudes in the car just hanging out, and I'm like, this is like a 48 hours scenario gone wrong. So I got in my car. Yeah, it was horrible. I got home and drove home, and it was like the movie Go. I swear it only took like 6 seconds to get to my house.
Oh, God. It sounds like that stuff they call crusty slime. It's that joint that's laced with shampoo and coffee grinds. Ugh, not good at all. I got to pass on that stuff.
Somebody says they did it, and they ran around Riverside Park naked off of two hits. Always, and that's the other thing. I think it heats your body up. That's why you get naked. You get hot. You get so hot that you just got to strip your clothes off.
Gotta get these clothes off.
You start running around. And you're naked.
Oh,
I want to do it.
Oh yeah, I want to try that. Now you see, you're selling me on that. I want to try that, and I want to try that new zombie Emma. Kids try to parties, and next thing you know, they're on a webcam getting paid to do astrology readings for dungeon masters. Let's go to Mark in D.C. Line 4. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Awesome show, guys.
Thank you.
I I lived in Hyattsville, Maryland, and oh man, that was known as the PCP capital of the United States.
Really?
Any PCP that went through the United States went through Hyattsville, Maryland first.
Let me ask, do you live in Hyattsville or did you grow up in Hyattsville?
I grew up in Hyattsville, and we had a bunch of us called Hyattsvillians. And we used to shake it down, freeze it up, make sure it crystallized good in the old glass Gatorade jar. 45 minutes, check it out. Oh, man, it's good stuff.
Good stuff. Yes, it's got guys wanting to leap out 30-story tall buildings. Let's go to one more call here before we bounce to Josh's 9 o'clock news. Tim on the Eastern Shore. It says here you're a fireman, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
You're a paramedic, and we've seen these patients so many times. And they, from the smallest dude to the largest, you never know what you're going to get, whether it's the zombie or the dude who's got eight guys piled on top of him still doing a push-up trying to get up off the ground.
Wow.
They are insane strong, ripping tasers out. You name it.
Now, let me ask, too, I've heard, and I'm looking up stuff online as we have this discussion. Like you just said, there's like eight firefighters or EMTs or police officers, and for some reason, they're insanely strong, but they're like tearing tendons. They're breaking their own bones.
And where does the strength come from? Muscle. Like, let's, for instance, like, I'm not a strong person. Like, my upper body strength is pathetic.
But then it would take six or seven people to hold you down.
Wow! Mike!
Where does it come from? Where does the strength come from? Is it adrenaline or something or whatever? Like, I don't know. What the hell is
Do you know, Tim?
I don't know, but I personally, we tried to keep a guy from running into oncoming traffic. And I'm talking, there were seven of us on top of him. Average dude just wigged out of his mind, just trying to keep him out of traffic. We're holding him down. And he literally did a push-up with all of us on his back.
Wow. Do you remember, God, this is a deep cut for anybody that's listening, video game fans. Remember the D.A.R.E. video game called Narc? And the arcade.
Oh, yeah.
And every single stage, there was a new drug addict you had to fight. And like stage one, it was just like a pill head. And stage two was a heroin addict. And then stage four was a PCP addict that would throw dumpsters at you. Like the son of a bitch would throw a full dumpster at you.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
The people of Instagram that just post and pose and crimp and fake, it's not real. A lot of the habits are annoying. And I will say of the social media platforms, it does annoy me the least because it's just photos. Twitter people now have had the ability to post twice as much stuff as they expanded from 140 characters to 280. And Facebook is just a sewer that I can't wait for Zuckerberg to push the kill switch on. But Instagram as a whole, I feel like it's the least annoying of the social medias, but there are still annoying habits on it.
I would agree with you. I find it the least annoying.
The one I understand the least, LinkedIn. Can't figure it out.
The only reason I have a LinkedIn account is for when we lose our job here. I'm hopefully going to, I don't know, make a contact on LinkedIn and
will it's LinkedIn like help me find a bridge to throw myself off of? Because that's my game plan.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid that.
You want blood on your hands, Rick?
More of like a business-oriented social media site.
Yeah.
And I don't. I have no idea why I have the LinkedIn account. I don't know. Apparently my profile is kind of strong. I did a good job. It gives you like the strength meter. There's a few areas where I can improve it, but I don't know. LinkedIn, yeah. Snapchat, I don't understand how that works.
Hung on to Friendster way too long. Remember Friendster? That was pre-MySpace.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There was a pre-MySpace network called Friendster.
I remember a friend of mine showing me Facebook for the first time, and I hated it. It used to look so different. If you can think back to when you first joined, it used to look so drastically different than it does now. But yeah, I hated it when I first saw it.
Well, there's a whole new, I can't say industry, but burgeoning group online where they're doing internet archaeology. What old sites still exist? What old social media platforms still exist? Like My Life? Remember Second Life? Stuff like that? All had annoying. Yes, My Life, Second Life. Oh, my God. I had an ex-girlfriend whose boss's wife sank their savings playing Second Life. Look it up. It's too long for us to explain right now. But it was like an MMO game with nothing to accomplish. And she spent their entire savings on BS in this
thing. Yeah. They lost everything.
Everything. They're destitute now because of a stupid game. Instagram habits that get on our nerves. All behind the curtain. But we're talking about annoying Instagram posing and posts. The millennial multi-hyphenate lifestyle aficionado content creator I'm referring to is a woman that was chronicled in the New York Post that basically hits all of these things on this list that Mike has found us. It's just the things that annoy us most on Instagram. We gotta say right now, Instagram's not real life. You need to get that out there. I have people in my life that I live with that I had a kid with by accident that needs to get it through their head. What you're seeing ain't real. It's not real. You've got the FOMO, fear of missing out. Suffers from that big time when she will jump on Instagram and see someone clinking drinks at a brunch surrounded by avocado toast with tulips on the table. I'm like, it's not like that all the time.
Right.
They took a photo of the best moment of their month.
Right. That's brunch, which is, you know, at 11 o'clock in the morning, cut to 4 hours later where she's at home crying on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Eating chocolate because daddy didn't hug her enough.
Exactly.
Like, you don't know.
Yeah, the kid.
Just because you see one split second moment in time is not what is reality.
It's just a
liar's playground.
There
are some people,
though,
that I do envy.
We have a friend that.
Your trainer, by the way.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's actually really his life.
I know.
It's really.
I know.
F you, Alex, in your wonderful life.
And he's in San Francisco right now, and his Instagram is just like, God, I hate you.
He's mountain biking through some Appalachian trail. He's skiing in Aspen.
He skateboarded down Lombard Street, the crookedest street in the world.
I seriously, at times, have thought that it was an REI-sponsored ad on my Instagram.
Alex?
It was actually just Alex.
Yes, ex-Alex is a walking REI ad. He really is. He lives the life. But there's so many that you know do not. And they will just take all these photos and posts. And the woman I was referring to before we get to this list, she goes by the name of Lisette Calve. And she was chronicled in the New York Post because she's trying to become Instagram famous by going into debt, traveling to places she can't afford, buying handbags that she's putting on credit, taking all these amazing Instagram photos of her all around the world in front of infinity pools, or letting her hair whip in the wind on some ferry as she crosses the Thames River. Meanwhile, she's making $30,000 a year and has 5 credit cards maxed out. But if you look at her Instagram, you're like, oh, she must be some trust fund socialite who comes from like the Rothschild family.
Right.
And no, that's not it. That's
she's
not
broke. Her ass is broke.
Dead broke. Credit scores in the 300s. And I feel like she hits some of these things on this list. If you want to throw a couple out at us, these are things that annoy us
the most. And we've, you know, a lot of these, some of these, I mean, they all hit the mark, but some of them more so than others.
Number 5, I don't know why it makes me want to pull my own teeth out with pliers.
Number 8, posing in front of a landmark to show off how you're on vacation and everyone isn't. Super annoying.
Very annoying.
Look where I am.
I will be doing that in Tokyo next year.
Number 7, I don't really know of that much. Walking away from the camera. A picture of you walking away from the camera.
It's like, okay, did you bring a camera crew to take the picture with you?
That's the one I always get confused by, is like when it's kind of like a selfie, but it's obviously a posed picture that somebody took of you.
Yeah, and then if there's an inspirational message underneath, that's
had an old coworker here that was super guilty of that. We're like, what is this photo? Like, who took this photo of you?
If life is a memory, then dreams are all that the world gives. Stop, 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 stop it.
If you're
stop
on a beach staring out across the ocean.
Oh, God, I just want a great white shark to dive out and pull your ass into the surf. You suck. Yes, but the look away, and I'm not sure, would you combine 4 and 7? Because I feel like 4 ties directly into 7. Jumping ahead a little bit.
Well, the 4 is the one, but 6 is a freeze jump where I guess we jump in the air and they take a picture of you. Mm-hmm. That's annoying.
All right.
This one, stop doing this. We're pinching the sun or a building in the distance.
Yes.
Rob Mayer had one of these the other day, but I didn't mind it so much because He was at the frickin' pyramids. And okay, I was
that's
like, okay.
All right.
I'm like, you're at the pyramids, dude. Do what you
but
want.
But I don't need to see you holding up the Washington Monument anymore.
Or the Leaning Tower
yes,
of Pisa.
Yes, the Leaning Tower of Pisa shot sucks.
What about when you pretend that, you know, like the obelisk is your penis?
Okay.
That's hilarious.
I'll always laugh at that.
That's funny.
I will always
And
laugh
if I was at,
that. At
the Leaning Tower of Pisa, I would 100% take that photo. So
I would act like I'm super kicking it Shawn Michaels style.
Here's the one. A quote-unquote candid picture where you're not looking at the camera.
Oh, God.
It's supposed to be just some sort of candid shot.
Oh, hi.
But you know.
I didn't notice you there. Yes, you did. You've been setting up that shot for 20
yeah,
minutes.
You took it 16 times.
Yes. How many times did you go through that? This, okay, I will never say their name, but here is his shot. This picture made my blood boil. I don't know why that picture.
Right. That's the person I'm talking about.
That
the
picture
old coworker,
oh,
yeah.
made God. My blood boil. Like how?
What
you
is
spent
that?
An hour setting that shot up.
And who took it?
She doesn't work here anymore?
Nope.
I had no idea.
A long time ago.
Really?
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
No, a couple weeks.
I think it's been 5 years.
She didn't even say goodbye.
Didn't say goodbye to anyone. Stole a bunch of stuff from the prize closet and hauled ass out of the parking lot. See you, bitches.
Yeah, she was the king of that. Kissing photo is number three. Number two, this is a big one. A picture of your tan legs where they look like hot dogs, where you're laying in the, you're on vacation or you're laying by the pool and you take a picture of your legs on the lounge chair.
The other big one women do is where they're laying on the beach towel and they take a selfie and they make sure that their cleavage is perfect.
I don't mind that.
Actually, yeah, you know what? I have
got
no problem with that.
No problems with that at all.
But we know what you're doing, okay?
I love deep cleavage.
Like a deep, deep V.
And a nice veiny breast.
Yeah, I like a nice spider vein covered old lady leg.
Blue veiny breasts.
Uh-huh. I want
deep cleavage.
I want liver spots and bad teeth.
Them heavy breasts.
Hunks of hair missing. I want a stab wound and fire.
Super heavy breasts.
Number three. Oh, this isn't even on here, but maybe this falls into the 4 and 7 category. God, I'm a miserable F. Is the hand-holding picture where the girl is pulling her boyfriend around the world. Have you seen that pic?
No.
I feel like there's one woman that got it started.
Yeah, it blew up a couple years ago.
Yeah, where she was wandering the earth, going to the Leaning Tower of Pisa and going downtown Moscow and going to the Eiffel Tower. And it was just her pulling her boyfriend's hand, and I guess the boyfriend was holding the camera, so it was like a first-person shooter.
Oh, right.
It was like
right,
the worst
right.
Call of Duty. It was like Call of Miserable Bitch for modern warfare. And she's just pulling him around the world. Like, oh, God, what a drip. What
Dexter wants to know if we also spotlight the people who create Instagrams for their pets. Two of my friends have sent me follow requests for their dogs.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Hey, did you see the photo we just got? Shout out Jeremy Roman. I'm going to see you later when I work out. There is a picture of everyone at the Leaning Tower of Pisa all at
doing
once.
Doing that photo.
All doing it. There's like 50 of them in a field doing this stupid leaning picture. Oh, you all stink.
And another one that's not on this list that for me is number one, and it's out of control now. The gym selfie in the gym mirror. And this is always the pose.
Oh, yeah, with the leg up. And
like, how are you getting in shape when you spend your entire time treating the FX or the Planet Fitness like an Olin Mills? The annoying Instagram post. You were reading off a list earlier, Scott, of the top 8 things that are most frustrating on Instagram, the things that annoy us most. And please chime in, 410-338-1098. Just a quick grab bag here. The silly freeze jump, the PDA, the candid photo where you pretend you're not looking at the camera even though you and your poor put-upon, broken-spirited boyfriend have been shooting that same picture for 40 minutes so you can get the exact right light, the selfie, all that other dumb garbage. The other one that I feel like lends to my earlier declaration that Instagram is the liar's playground are the filters. The filters are getting out of control. If you do the silly stuff where you're putting the glasses on and you got, I don't know, the flower crown and all that, okay. I don't think you're actually wearing a crown of tulips to work. But some of those things have, like, skin filters.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you don't have freshly poured whole cream skin. I've met you. You've seen me. My gross Waldorf pockmarked awful surface of Mars flesh does not look like hand-spun silk. But I'm seeing all these Instagram posts of people that are just going to be putting dermatologists out of business. They're so nice. That ain't what you look like.
Yeah, somebody writes in, the absolute worst thing on any social media is the girl in her early 20s holding the camera crooked while taking a selfie indoors while wearing the huge bug-eyed sunglasses, doing the stupid kiss duck face thing while holding a crooked peace sign in front of her face. This makes me so angry that I had to restrain myself from actually calling in to talk to you guys about this because I know there is no way I could keep it radio friendly. I can actually feel my blood pressure rising violently right now. When I see those pictures, all I want is a Lucille of my very own. That's a Walking Dead reference. Mm-hmm. That is the calmest, nicest way I can put it.
Congratulations, sir.
Wow.
Yeah, and if you want to double the douche, like I said earlier, just add an inspirational message underneath.
I was discussing the woman earlier that the New York Post had done a study on that she put herself into debt with all of these awful Instagram posts to make it seem like she's just some trust fund world-traveling content creator. God, when do we go from making things in this country to we create content? Ugh, God. You should read some of the captions on her crap. That's a wrap, Miami. Thanks for the new memories in a place that was always old and reminding me of the power of being young. Cuba. Stateside looking and can't wait to reflect. You'll have my heart forever. You'll also have $20,000 worth of MasterCard dealt, you zilch. Meanwhile, there's a guy in the background of that Cuba photo that the minute that that camera went down, it looks like he was about to stick her with a Phillips head and take that camera.
And I know I'm going to probably piss off a few of our close listeners, but the videos of people lip syncing in their cars is another one I could probably do without.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's really good. Really good. Let's go to the phones. James, Carroll County, 410-338-1098, joining the conversation. James, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
Hello.
Oh, pretty good. So I don't have an Instagram, and I've kind of always wanted it.
No. God bless you. Stay away. Stay away. God bless you.
Yeah, man. Live your life.
Yeah. You don't abide to the whole social media thing, huh?
Nah, not really. I mean, I like to do a lot of cool things, and I know sometimes when you get away from all that stuff, you see better stuff.
You see the world around you. Thank you for the call. 410-338.
Yeah, you don't see the world through a 4-inch screen. You actually see it.
Yeah, that's the argument that I get in every holiday over at the in-laws' house when one of them is watching the entirety of Christmas through a 4x2.5-inch screen. I'm like, set the phone down and play around with that new Christmas toy instead of doing this Olin Mills shoot the entire time. By the way, you'll never look at those pictures again. Let's go to Mike in Towson. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing, sir?
Good. Yeah, I got a friend that does it. I'm not going to say his name. His name's Joe, actually. He does it. He does it a lot with the Snapchat and, like, gym equipment, where it's like he'll, like, take pictures of, like, you know, like the stair lift or whatever, and it's like, hello, my old friend, with the caption, and, like, empty, like, protein, like, powder jugs. He, like, into a bag and then takes the picture.
You, Joe. Joe sucks. Next time you're at the gym with Joe, just bounce his head off of that treadmill. Now, what's Joe look like, by the way? Is Joe looking like Joe Weider, or is he a big, fat, sloppy pork chop?
He's in decent shape, but he you know, he's always putting, like, gains under every meal, like that hashtag gains and all that.
Oh,
but he's not, like, crazy jacked, but, you know what I mean? He's normal build.
You should be put on a watch list if you use the word gains unironically in conversation. Like, I have a terrible bro science T-shirt that says, thou shalt covet these gains, because it's ridiculously stupid. But if you're really using that in everyday conversation, you need to do a little self-inventory. Now, on the opposite of that, with the gym stuff, there is a girl named Amy. She listens to us, the Charm City chick. I enjoy her gym selfie stuff because she's like a legitimate power lifter.
Oh, and she's on a journey.
She's on a journey. Her body looks amazing these days. She takes these great progression photos Drew, if you scroll back through her timeline from a year ago.
Oh, screw you bettering yourself.
How
Why
dare you
shove it in my face
how
for?
How dare you get in incredible shape with them thick thighs?
While I'm on the couch eating fudge.
Yeah, while I'm just eating mustard slabs off of Evan's cheek because I'm trying to teach him to eat bologna and cheese sandwiches with mustard on it, and he gets it up his cheeks, and I give him a little, and I suck the mustard off of the side of his face. Let's go to Alex in Middle River. Alex, thank you for holding, buddy. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
How you doing, sir?
Doing well. Can't complain.
Ah.
Yeah, the pictures on Instagram that I freaking hate is when everybody's sitting there taking all these money shots. Like, I mean, you guys are throwing hundreds of dollars on the bed. And I'm sitting back thinking, are the police watching your posts? How the hell did you get that money?
Okay, here's the thing, too.
I don't know.
Here's the thing, Alex. Pay attention to the next one that you see. Zoom in on the picture. Ain't nothing but ones.
Yeah, it's like a 20 wrapped around a bunch of ones.
There's nothing I love more than the guy that's fanning the bills out. Out there getting that paper. Out there getting that paper. Each day, the struggle's real. And then their buddy chimes in. We work at Jimmy John's. Like, okay. Yeah, you're making the big stacks. Let's go to Jordan. Jordan, line one. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing? I just absolutely hate when people like their own picture. I cannot stand it.
What about people that are, okay, I'll double down on that. They like their own picture, and they're the first person to comment on their own picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, the narcissism. Let's go to...
Now I'm curious to go back through my own Instagram account.
Just,
damn it.
It's just pictures. It's nature and beautiful children. Your smoking hot wife. It's a good Instagram. At Scott98Rock. Give him a follow. Jordan Joppa, what's up?
So my girlfriend's friend Sam, when she goes to concerts or anything, her Snapchat stories are forever long. Forever.
So it makes you wonder, how are you enjoying the concert if all you're doing is filming the concert?
Snapchatting.
Oh, exactly. I make fun of her every time she comes over. I'm like, can you not do any more Snapchat?
Yeah. Let's take one more here before we bounce. Let's talk to Tim in Glen Burnie. Tim, good morning.
Well, hello there, guys.
Well, hello there.
I know a girl who is constantly posting inspirational quotes, some that she made herself, which is just so ironic because she can't take her own advice. She's like the same idiot.
Yeah, wash that man right out of your hair. You're the only one that she made. Meanwhile, she's like with this meth addict that regularly like beats dogs. Or she writes crap like, look both ways before you cross my mind. Ugh, God. There's other ones. Quick, curious, playful, strong, and well accessorized. I have six figures of debt.
It's time to go behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Earlier in the week, Spiegel, the target of a group of rogue plowmen. How's the mailbox situation, buddy?
Well, I lifted it up. It had been knocked over by a wad of snow that had been shot out of the side of a snowplow.
Yeah.
So on Thursday, I straightened the mailbox and did a little repairs. Not too handy, but I think it's gonna stay for now.
Old blue collar Spiegs out there getting his hand in the muck.
Or maybe I'll move it around. Keep you on your toes.
So they never know where to leave the mail. And Josh never gets a bill again. And his house goes into foreclosure. All right, hear about it now. Josh thinks he was the target of a plow hit on Behind the Curtain.
I've been debating whether to say anything but since we're talking about the snow
say
and the
it.
Roads. But my, you know, I got a mailbox at the end of my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And the a snow plow on the night that the snow started, it's a little aggravating. Okay, I'm going to try to keep it together.
We go.
Now I know that they release the salt and whatever chemicals in the back, but what do they do when from the front? I saw the truck, the plow, the truck. It did something. It released a big wad of snow from the right side of the front, or maybe it just pushed it.
I was gonna say where the plow was angled towards your
yeah,
and
mailbox
knocked over my mailbox.
Oh yeah,
that's
so, not good.
I don't know what to do. I don't know yet if I can even if it's even salvageable. If I can lift it up,
Josh, you reported on the.
But I thought it might be intentional.
Do you think you were the target?
Yes, I think it was. I think it may have been a hit.
Were you marked?
I think I was marked.
Do you think the plow people remember that one discussion on the air from years
ago? Yes, I think they do.
Josh is on a plow list.
Yeah.
That name again is Mr. Plow.
That snow is so heavy and wet.
Yeah.
It just, because I saw it happen, and it, if I wouldn't have been scared of slipping, I would have run after the truck.
Do you think he drove specifically closer to your mailbox compared to others?
Well, I don't know if he drove specifically closer, but it sprayed. It looked like he waited just for the moment. I'm gonna make an accusation that it was intentional.
Rampant speculation.
And but you know what are you supposed to do? I mean, what are you supposed to do? You're not stopping me. You're not stopping me. You could put all the snow on my mailbox you want.
He's still getting to work. He's going into one of two places.
Son of a bitch.
The radio station or the grave. But Josh is showing up.
But what are they going to do? What are they going to do with your mail now, though?
That's a good question. I'm going to have to just stand out
there. I would worry about that.
Oh, we could go mailbox shopping. That'd be fun.
Well, I get all that, but like today, because it's not going to get fixed immediately, so does the mail go?
Is it completely tipped over, like it's unusable?
Yeah, it's tipped over.
Oh, it's over on the ground.
It's tipped over, but I don't, you know, there's so much snow, I don't know if it can be stuck. It might be able to just be shoved back into the hole.
Well, hello there.
Maybe you can just lean it up into the snow, but it will have to be buoyed into the ground again.
Yeah.
The foundation will never be the same.
Yeah,
dented.
But it just seemed like just the right moment when he unleashed that torrent of snow.
Listen, I don't mean to squirt kerosene on the fire here, but you sound like you were the direct target of a snowplow conspiracy.
It was an attack.
Mm-hmm. Operation Hebrew Blizzard is underway, fellas. Yeah. I remember in 2009 I had a plow push so much effing snow into the side of my old car, it dented the door panel in.
Oh, my God.
It was parked on the side of the road. When we got that double snowstorm in 2009, Monday. The big old KFC double down storm pushed so much new snow into the old snow, and it finally thawed out. The door was caved in. Now, that was just some meth-addled asshole pushing snow into my car. You were the direct result of a conspiracy. Follow the money, Josh. Paper trail.
Oh, damn, plow drivers are checking in.
I'm sure they are.
I bet he's checking in, the one that did it.
What do they say?
Well, I'm not going to read it.
We know you're out there.
It's really mean. It says, Christ, Josh, if you think it was on purpose, you are some kind of stupid. Us plow drivers don't give an S who lives where. We're doing our job hours on hours straight. F your mailbox.
And I bet that man is right. They don't care. But I bet one does.
Yeah. I'm not making a sweeping statement about all plow drivers. It's like, God forbid you say something. God forbid you say something. Then an entire profession rises up.
An industry. Oh my God, we're gonna go out front and there's gonna be 500 plows like flashing their lights at the building. They're gonna barricade us in.
Is it conceivable that one of you may have done it on purpose? Is it possible? Is it conceivable? Just a little conceivable. Is it possible?
I still don't understand how they could decide. I mean, it just pushes snow. Yeah, it's not like there's a chute that it fires snow out of.
Oh, no. The snow plowers are like the Freemasons, okay? They go back centuries.
It looked like there was, he unleashed something. It didn't look like he was just pushing snow. It looked like there was something.
Maybe he hit a pile that was at the end of your driveway?
I don't know.
I don't know how a guy driving a plow intentionally knocks over a mailbox with snow.
It's an ancient brotherhood.
Unless the plow hits, unless he deliberately hits it with the plow. It would take. It just seems like a very coincidental happening.
You know, the assassination of certain political figures have been directly drawn back to the snowplow industry. You know, it snowed the day that JFK was shot. Not in the United States. It was.
Yeah. And then somebody says, call the state or county. They might replace your mailbox.
Oh! You can get an even nicer one.
Call the state of Massachusetts.
And they'll just destroy it again. Trust you, this might be a losing battle, Josh. You see, the snow plowers go back to 1450 when P.L. Altruck, the original snow plower, used to have a horse-drawn carriage with a large piece of plywood in front of it scoop the snow away from the village streets. They were just dirt roads then. They would bury the local constable if he had been harassing them, mayors, shopkeepers. Some have even said... Okay.
In a second.
No, checking in. Oh, here come the
plow. I'm sure they are.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we have to pick up.
Mike's screening him. Oh, we got a green call.
Let's
put somebody through.
Oh, hold
on. You
want
to take some?
Yeah, let's just go ahead and fire up an early morning edition of...
The Anderson Agenda.
This actually supports Spiegel.
All right, let's go to line one. Big Bubba checking in. What's up, Bubba?
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey. Oh, we're doing good. Hey, when I used to plow snow, we used to keep a tally on who had the most mailboxes knocked down, the most telephone cable boxes knocked down, the most amount of feet of guardrail ripped out.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. People usually just going into ditches.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying it was like a competition among you?
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, wow.
Bubba, let me ask, was anybody ever targeted?
You never know.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
All right.
Now, what
is
he still there?
Yes, he is.
What is, I'm trying to figure out the mechanics. Is there something on the right front of the truck where you could pull some sort of a lever that unleashes snow?
Not really. I mean, unless it's one of the newer trucks that has the expanding blade on the right hand side. But most likely, it was just the regular snow that took you out.
Yeah. Regular snow.
That's a yes.
Well, the plow is shaped in such a way that it, when you turn it, it shoots the snow out the side of it. So the snow, he was probably going fast enough to get that snow whipping out of there. I mean, that snow will knock you over.
Careless.
God, how far down does this go? Or how far up the chain? Mike, clear the schedule.
I mean, the real question, I mean, how flimsy of a mailbox did you own that it could get knocked over so easily?
It's very strong.
Okay. Yeah, and that's heavy, wet snow, Mike. That's like
down.
Really, really heavy.
Oh, I know.
It's like a projectile coming out of the end of
that. You
get
one of those brick ones, though. It's like completely protected, wow. So you know, teenagers can't take a bat to it.
Yeah, you get the ones exactly where the actual mailbox is contained in the big brick pylon. I think we get started on Operation Mailbox 2.0, The Return. Make that bitch look like the Shatter Dome from Pacific Rim. You could drive.
Dash cam video shows plows damaging mailboxes.
Uh-huh.
Here we go. This is from YouTube.
So don't call us. Look to your own.
2 years ago. From WOOD. Where is that? I don't know.
The Wood?
TV Ace. The Wood.
The Wood?
Coming at ya. The hard-hitting Wood.
Check it in. All the way from the Wood.
Video.
All right, let's go live.
Oh, yeah, it's just there it goes. It's just the snow hitting the mailbox, knocking the damn thing over.
I think
it's coming off there
today.
With such velocity. Whack!
Wow.
Oh, yeah!
Get some.
What's that guy supposed to do? He's doing his job, right? Oh! That snow is flying out of there so fast. It's just taking out mailbox after mailbox. Wow. Oh, there it is. They have a close-up shot of the mailbox down.
What if his job wasn't just that of a snow plowsman, but that of a hired gun by the dispatcher?
Mm-hmm.
They got a direct line to the NSA. Don't think that they're not trying to shut down Josh's flow of information by thinking by knocking his mailbox over, he ain't getting to work. You tried and you failed. If you come for the king, you best not miss. You best not miss.
Mike's saying line two.
It was probably an accident. Let's talk to Kurt on the Eastern Shore. Good morning, Kurt.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing, sir?
We
we usually push snow, and when we push snow, we try to get to as close to the mailboxes as possible to clear the side of the road. And often, the snow will knock the mailboxes open, then we end up filling them with snow, or we knock them over.
Yeah.
There we go. Just,
and what is in your industry or in your company or department, what does, like, the boss say about that? What is
there's not much you can do about it. I mean, to be honest with you, people even leave trash cans out on the side of the road where we can't clear, and we end up knocking those over as well.
Yeah. You son of a bitch. Wow. Wow.
The overall consensus is you're plowing the roads and then collateral damage happens.
Well, you're trying to clear as close to the shoulder as you can to make the road safe, obviously. So what else are you supposed to do?
Look, I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't know anything about this.
Kurt, children, by any chance? Sons or daughters?
No.
No. But but parents, relatives you'll spend some time with at some point?
Yes.
How do you look at them in the eye knowing what you've done?
Mailbox murderer.
You son of a... Listen to him. He's not even remorseful. He's
cackling.
He's laughing.
Do you take pride in knocking over those things?
No, we don't take pride in it, but it does happen.
Okay. Well, you must have missed our call with Bubba just
now. The guy said they have a competition.
He had an Excel spreadsheet.
They keep a tally.
That son of a bitch had a win-loss record.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Tonight, go see Billy Gardell at Magoobies. A couple of things we wanted to get behind the scenes. Billy Gardell, you've seen him opposite Melissa McCarthy on Mike and Molly. And you didn't see him on Livewire yesterday. People were texting in, tweeting in. Hey, it's Billy Gardell. Billy Gardell. I love him from this. I love him from that. We want to see him. Well, we have people sign waivers because we have these high-definition television camera quality cameras for Livewire, but being that we save these videos and we broadcast them out, we social media share them, that's their likeness. And Billy Gardell is a guy whose likeness is his profession, and some people just don't want to give that up just so wantonly without wanting to know how it's going to be used. And we're not going to Photoshop him or green screen him in anything terrible, but he's just being careful about his own property.
Well, the way the waiver is worded, it makes it seem like...
We're going to do stuff with it. Yeah, we might need to reword the waiver.
It says you're signing over all rights for us to do whatever the hell we want to with the video of you. Which, like you said, is nothing nefarious. It's just we want to put it on YouTube. We want to share it on social media. But... once he if he signs that, if we wanted to,
we're putting his head over every last bestiality video we've ever seen.
We could do anything with it. That's what it, and it's like, I mean, he didn't sign it, and look, the first few times it happened, I was like, why aren't you signing it? You know, in my head,
now,
I'm thinking,
well, when I read the thing, like, now it makes sense. Yeah,
like, yeah, you don't want to just sign away your likeness for some station in Baltimore that you know nothing about to do whatever you want with.
So there you go. That's why if you did not see Billy Gardell, who was fantastic, you're going to love him coming up. He was hilarious. He was cool as the other side of the pillow, just an average guy from Pittsburgh, done well. If you didn't see him, it's because he was like, you know what? Nah, I don't feel like having you guys Photoshop my head onto some gopher's body. Coming up, we talk to Billy Gardell on Behind the Curtain.
Joined in studio, Billy Gardell.
What's up, man?
Look at that. Canned applause.
I
might need that tonight.
That's from another studio directly next door.
I might actually need that. Can I get a cut of that?
There's no chance you need that. Billy Gardell, at Billy Gardell. Give him a follow. You know him from 1,000 different things. I think most recently, most famously, Mike and Molly.
Right, I was Molly.
You were Molly.
I played Molly for a lot of years.
You know who was nice. Mike. That show, by the way, that was, it was on, 127 episodes?
Yeah, man.
Six seasons?
Yeah, six and a half, and what a blessing, man.
I heard that five is the sweet spot? If you get five, you get the syndication.
You're going to syndication.
Yeah, we always talk about that. Anytime anybody comes up here and has some success in TV, we always talk about, because we're fascinated by that world. We don't know anything about it. We show up here every day. We do this. You hear the stories, right, about the 100-episode mark or the five-year mark.
The 100-episode is the big one. That means you're going to get into that fraternity, that rare air of being people's dinner time show or late night before bed show, you know. Cheers and King of Queens and Friends, and now we're in that loop, and that's a pretty big honor. I wish it was still a SAG contract, but what are you going to do?
How long does that last, that syndication?
Syndication is bought in five-year chunks, so we'll be on the air in syndication and reruns for 5 years, and then God willing,
they'll re-up for another five,
and I'll buy a beach house, and we'll be done.
That's what we talk about. We talk about the we learned the term mailbox money.
Mailbox money. Been talking to the comics. That's the greatest thing in the world.
I have no idea what that is.
You walk out, and there's a check of residuals for like 3 months stacked up, and you're like, wow, how about that?
Or you get the one that the amount of residuals on the check isn't worth the postage that was
it it winds down, and then I get residuals from stuff I did in like 2003, and it'll be like 32 cents.
Yeah.
You know, like it literally cost them more to send that. There's a bar in L.A. called Residuals.
And someone told us about that.
And if your residual's under a buck, they give you a free drink.
That's hilarious. And then they take the check and like stick it to the wall.
Yeah, they stick it to the wall.
And
cool.
When you were doing Mike and Molly, it went from, I think, from 2009, 2010.
Somewhere in there.
Right around there is when you partner up with Melissa McCarthy, and then midway through filming, the world just falls in love with her. And she is, anywhere and everywhere now. And, I mean, did you just have this big swell of pride for her?
Oh, God, yeah, man. But you got it. Our crew was we were an anomaly because our whole cast, the guy who played my partner, Carl, played Officer Carl, Reno Wilson.
Reno Wilson, yeah.
Me and him were friends for 10 years before we got that show. We were actually on a show 10 years before that called The Heist. And we played partners as cops, believe it or not, as detectives. And we got canceled like 6 episodes in, but we just stayed friends. So that relationship was already there. When I met Melissa, it was one of those things where I was like, oh, this is just supposed to be the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
And the whole cast, the woman who played my mother, Rondi Reed, and of course we had Swoozie Kurtz and Lou Mastillo from Broadway. We had all these veteran actors. Everybody was over 40 when we hit, except Katie and Niambi, which was the sister and the gentleman who ran Abe's Beef. But the attitude on our stage was, everybody was grateful because we'd all been kicked around enough that we understood what a blessing it was for what we got.
All the BS.
So nobody was nuts. Yeah, everybody had a family or a wife or a husband. Everybody's like, nobody screw this up. We got great parking. Exactly. We got coffee. We got insurance.
Craft services is varied. There's no inner office beef.
Yes. So there was this attitude of, you know, we're really grateful. And then we all really grew to love each other. So like, we all had dinner like 3 nights ago.
It's like so awesome. Refreshing and enjoyable.
It was really
weird. You've probably been on some sets.
I've been to the Nut House. Oh. But the head of TV, Warner Brothers, Peter Roth, came in and he said, the greatest compliment he paid us is he said, I wish I could take these kids that get pilots at 22 and 23 and make them watch you guys talk to each other and the way you treat each other for a couple weeks before they do their show.
Like how many shows?
I wish this was if they could intern here for like a week or two before they got their deal.
To that point, how many shows might have been great ideas, great script, you got a good showrunner, but the BS behind the scene is just such a whirlwind of garbage that it drags the show down and ends it. They could have acted like you guys did and got a nice long run out of it.
Well, look, man, success does weird stuff to people. I'm very grateful my success came in 40. And by the way, I want to circle back to that point with Melissa.
Yeah.
When she started to catch fire, Bridesmaid came out around second year of Mike and Molly.
Yeah.
She showed up at work every day, the same kind person. And we were rooting for her. Like, we papered her car with the USA Today when she won the Emmy. We just literally papered her car. Everybody was rooting for her because we were old enough and mature enough to understand her success just helped our show even more. And the fact that she came to work grounded and down to earth and the same girl that I met when we started, that's a real testament to her.
Because you've had the opposite happen where someone is on a show, they'll do
crazy.
A television show, and then they'll get some movie traction, and then they look at the show as an afterthought and then a burden, and then I'm gone.
Yeah.
Case in point was Katherine Heigl. Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. I don't know her, but I know that I know the stories you're talking
that
about.
That she had this great thing going with Grey's, and then someone anointed her, hey, you're going to be another Jennifer Aniston-type character. She started smelling her own farts, thought she was everything. She's going to be the next Julia Roberts.
Right.
And then she just, Grey's Anatomy can go F itself. Now she's doing like direct to DVD bins you find like in an Exxon station grab bag, and Grey's won't let her back on.
Well,
she wanted to come back on the show, and they're like, no, thank you. You treated us like S.
It's like the end of that, what was the third Indiana Jones movie?
He knows.
Last Crusade.
You know, the old knight in the days, choose wisely.
The cup of Christ. Yes. You chose poorly. And then Katherine Heigl's face melts off.
That's
and,
right.
All right, hey, stick
but
around.
See, there's plenty of good examples as well, like Allison Janney from Mom just won an Oscar, came back and right back to the show, thanked her cast. That's very so.
That's the way
so
it's out there.
That is how you're supposed to do it.
Isn't that cool?
First 70 people that are going to show up will score passes to the 98 Rock premiere. Ready Player One, March 26th, AMC in Columbia. Did you read the book?
No.
The book's supposed to be great.
The book's unbelievable.
I can't. My 14-year-old and I can't wait.
Again, I'm going to have a ton of
Back to the Future DeLorean we were in. We're like, yeah.
Hey, what about the Iron Giant in the thing? It's going to be like you did. You had like a role in Young Sheldon, right?
I do. I have a reoccurring. I just did the third one last week.
Spinoff of the Big Bang series. Big Bang Theory?
So brilliant. That cast is wonderful. And Lance Barber, the guy who plays the father on that show, it was me and him for the final choices for Mike and Molly. So I was so glad to see him get this role on such a great show. He's well-deserved. Me and him saw each other at every audition in Hollywood for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
There was like six big guys wandering around Hollywood. You know, we'd all be at the same
trying
audition.
To get the big guy role.
Yeah, we got Billy Gardell. So I'm really happy for him.
Billy Gardell in studio. He's going to be at McGoobie's Joke House. One show tonight, two shows tomorrow night. And speaking of big guys, This Is Us. They got the big guy on there.
Yeah, when I saw that show, I tweeted out, that was us.
Oh, yeah.
A little familiar with that couple, but what a brilliantly done show, man.
Oh,
well,
man.
Well written.
This is
and
this
well
guy's
acted.
1C Josh Spiegel Award winner.
It's a brilliantly written show. Brilliantly.
And I heard that he wears
a fat suit.
A suit, yeah.
I don't know.
Does that bother you that he does that? Or?
No, I don't. Hey, look, man, if you can get a gig in Hollywood and you can get a job acting and it stays on the air, good, more power to you. It's
because that's
hard
a good point.
Grind.
Don't like a real heavy person who doesn't need the fat suit. They complain now that like, well, why didn't you cast a real fat person?
Well, maybe they weren't as good an actor. How about that?
Yeah.
You
right.
have to have some talent. Right. How about that?
But yes. Christy, is that her name? Christy Metz? Or I'm sorry, I forgot. Mm-hmm. The woman. She's a great actress.
She's a great actress.
Yeah. Man. Do you know her?
No, never met any of that cast.
Well,
what's
I do.
Really
no,
cool
I
though don't. Is. You know, you see the buses in Pittsburgh that say Swissville on them.
Okay.
That's where I grew up. Literally the town I grew up in Pittsburgh. So I got a little soft spot for that.
Because the main character, Jack, very first episode, he's sitting there on the he's got a terrible towel
right, 70s.
In bed.
Right, exactly right.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm
so
like, yeah, all right, I'm in.
What was the closest? Okay, you always hear these like Hollywood stories of if it wasn't Harrison Ford playing Han Solo, it was almost going to be Kurt Russell.
Right.
And there's audition footage of them
right
so close it was down to these two guys and oh man
right.
could you imagine if Eric Stoltz was Marty McFly
right I think actually
of,
he was for a
he
while
was, and
then
they
stopped
these...
and said we're going to reshoot this
have you
was, they didn't like him
ever been that has there
no.
ever been a role like that where man it
no.
was going to be Billy Gardell
no.
but instead Wesley Snipes got it
no no man I got lucky and you know talent kind of keeps you there but I think you have to have some luck involved, too. And I just happen to be at the right place at the right time with the right circumstances. There's a lot of cats that are more talented than me out in L.A. And it's a casino, man. You got to be at the right table when the number hits. You know, the talent is great, and that's part of it. You have to work hard at your craft and be good when the opportunity arises. But there has to be some luck involved.
Billy Gardell, where do you live?
I live in Studio City.
So you live out there?
I live in California. I've been out there 20 years. I live in Studio City, and the wife and I just bought a little beach house. It's our little getaway. That's our place we go disappear. And when the kid's done with school, we're probably going to get rid of the house in Studio City and maybe keep an apartment up there and kind of migrate to the beach.
Yeah, I read once in a USA Today you were saying that when your son, how old?
He's 14 now.
14, yeah. But when he gets
they misquoted.
A little bit older.
They said that I wanted to retire, and I was like, no, I don't want to retire, but I want to slow down enough to be present in his life because yeah. 14 to 21.
Those are transitional years, man.
You need some guidance, and I just want to make sure that I'm present.
Driving, drinking, schooling, smoking, loving, and all that sort of stuff.
Make good choices, man. Good choices.
How long did it take you to adjust? Because you're from right outside Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. You're a Pittsburgh guy.
Yep.
And we don't know. Like I said, we're always fascinated when we have people like you that come in that have, you know, lived the life and been out there. Did it take you? It's just like a different planet out there.
It is a different planet, but nothing's ever as bad or good as you think it is. You know what I mean? It's never what you hear. It's always a little better and it's always a little worse. So it's I think you just got to be open. I dig California's weather. I dig the progressiveness of California. When I first lived there, I hated it because it's right. such a hard town to survive when you're not successful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a brutal town to survive. Same as Manhattan. Like, yep. I don't know how young are, like, there was, when we moved out there, there was three of us in a one-bedroom apartment for $650 a month, and we barely made rent.
Wow.
I mean, and that's happening in New York now. They're all pricing the rent, so all the working class people in New York have to live in Queens and take the train in. And a lot of that's happened. That same apartment in L.A. that was $650 is now $1,700.
Yep.
So I don't know how young comics or young actors come out there now and just survive long enough to get the break. So I feel very grateful for that.
How did Billy Gardell pay the bills early on?
You know, man, I never went to college, but I was a street corner kid. So I assessed the game very quickly. When I came out there, I realized L.A. is not a pure stand-up town. New York is.
Yeah.
L.A. is not a town where you can do five sets a night like you can in New York City. Right. So L.A., where I found comedy to be it was kind of a stepping stone to get an agent. And once you could get an agent, then you could get auditions for television. The game is television in Los Angeles, television and film. So once I used my stand-up to get myself an agent, and then I never really involved myself with stand-up in that city because I just came out on the road. I would go work St. Louis, and I would go work Philadelphia, and I would go work Florida, and then save up my money, and then try to stay in town long enough. Like, it was a different deal. There wasn't all these online streaming. There was definitive seasons.
There was pilot season. Right. Usually yeah, early like, in the year. Like,
so you could be gone home. For a portion yeah, of the year, not even have to worry about missing anything.
That's the deal. Like, you wanted to be home from the end of January to the end of April. And then I would hit the road in May and not come back until September because September would be – September, October, November is all the guest starring stuff, which is kind of still semi-true. And then I would take off again around Thanksgiving and be gone until the end of January. And I would try to save up my ducats and that way I could hang in there for the casting season. So, right. But it's kind of a different thing now. There's no real – it's like a blended season now, so I think it doesn't matter.
Getting back to where you live, you're saying you live in Studio City. That's yeah. For those that have never been out west, in Los Angeles, in that area in particular, you got the Hollywood Hills that just cuts that city in half.
Right.
And while it only might be a mile or two apart, separated by the 101.
It's a 45-minute drive.
It's a 45-minute drive, and it's two different planets.
Yeah.
Because at the area that you live in, I used to live out in Burbank.
Yeah, okay.
It's the Valley.
Valley.
It's anywhere USA with palm trees and great weather.
The Valley is like a suburb with good weather and palm trees. You nailed it.
Cross the Hollywood Hills.
Then you're in crazy town.
And it's Sodom and Gomorrah, cocaine, knife fights, bath salts. It's insanity.
Yeah.
And it's yes. just this big mountain structure that yeah. separates the two. So if you live where you live,
yeah.
and a lot of people I know do that, they'll live in like Pasadena, yeah. Burbank, Studio City, and then yeah. when they need to work, they make that 45-minute drive right through the canyon.
I got really lucky, man, because Warner Brothers is on my side of the hill.
Yeah, near that Vons.
So there you go.
I used to live behind the Vons.
So right on. So, yeah, yeah. So I had an 11-minute commute to work for Mike and Molly.
Oh, how great is that?
How blue-collar am I? That's what excited me most. 11 minutes, no nice. Highway, and nice. I park right by the door.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. God, that's so cool. Did you ever go, God, this is getting way too specific inside, but that Vons is their Safeway.
Yeah.
Their Mars
right.
supermarket.
Giant Eagle for us up in Pittsburgh.
Did you ever go into that parking lot where the Vons was and they had a little Chinese takeout place right next to the Vons.
A million times.
That place was a staple in my diet. You got a bucket of food for $4.
That's all you can afford out there is Chinese food and Mexican food.
And
the first 10 years, that's all you eat because it's all you can afford.
That's all you get. You hit some of those taco stands, get a little Mexican street corn.
That's the deal. The street carts are the way to go for the Mexican food in L.A.
Oh,
Those guys that have the Vans, that's the best.
I can't wait to come visit you.
Are you coming out? Did we?
Yeah, he just invited himself.
Invited myself. I'll be hanging out near the Burbank Town Center. Billy Gardell Magoobies this weekend, man. Continued success.
Thank you guys for your time, man.
Thank you so much for spending.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So on Wednesday, the snow starts to fall. Hopefully you've all dug out safely here on a Saturday as we're here live in studio. The weather, beautiful out. And Josh had another employee park so close to him that he needed to have me, a smaller little boy, try and slide in, open the driver's side door, which I couldn't even do. So I had to crawl in through the passenger side. And here's why I was so comfortable saying that it was our promotions director, Lori. Zero chance she was listening. No chance. I know we've brought up stuff before on air that has directly involved her. Shout out to you and your team. Did great work, especially at our St. Patrick's Day event. No chance she found out about that whatsoever. Will there be any...
What does she listen to while driving in, do you wonder?
Big Kane guy. Big fan of the Kane.
Think she listens to Kane?
Big fan of Kane. Loves the Roses segment. That's definitely real. She got up on you. Do we let this sleeping dog lie, or does retribution await?
I think, it's one of those things. I actually gave her the benefit of the doubt. She probably didn't. I can't imagine that someone would do that on purpose.
Hmm.
But I'm ready to move on from it.
Okay. Well, I'm not. Coming up this week, we're going to cut her brake lines or maybe even deflate a tire. Who knows? I'll tow the damn thing. Josh Spiegel had someone park within a millimeter of his car, and he had to have my little impish ass scoot over the seat to back the thing out. I'm behind the curtain.
Yeah, the snow yesterday here at TV Hill, the WBAL building. That's where we are located. You can see it as you kind of head down 83 or up 83. Off to the side, those two big towers. We're right there. And for years, for as long as I've been here, actually they've repainted the parking lot a number of years ago.
Shaved a few inches off the size of them spaces, too.
Well, that's the thing. Notoriously tight spaces.
Tweet.
Up on TV Hill. And how many spaces could that add?
Like
scrunching
one,
them together,
right?
Like that. Like on the end of a row, you're either getting like maybe one or maybe two more spaces by just shaving off a few inches here and there. But yeah, that's why when I pull in the morning, I am surprised by Justin and Mike, who you park in the side parking lot with me.
Yeah.
There's a few choice spots that are a little bit wider, a little bit meatier. And a lot of times they'll be open and you guys have already parked. And I'm like, why do you pass the choice spots and go to those tight spots?
You know what the reasons
always
I do?
Park in the choice fat meaty spot.
There's a bit of a method to the madness. Is that those spots where you park, it's a 50-50 shot. We have TV vans downstairs, and what they'll do is they will load up with an anchor, they'll load up with a camera crew, and they'll go live to the scene of whatever breaking news WBAL is always there first to report on. And they park those vans right in front of there for some reason. You know, notice that? They pull the van out of the spot, they drive all the way around, and then they stop and they pin whoever's parked in there. And they seem like they drive past the spots where Mike and I are usually parked. And I just remember once parking close to the spots you're referring to and having to sit in my effing car for like 10 minutes while they loaded up all this equipment. I'm like, I'm going to start parking farther back.
But yeah, it seems like the notoriously tight parking spots caught up with Speaks yesterday.
Bitchy in the ass.
When I left, I couldn't get into my car because the person who parked next to me was like an inch from my door, my driver's side door, and I tried to squeeze in and I just couldn't.
And then I went around the other side to I tried getting in through the passenger side, and that I probably would have mangled myself.
You would have.
Would have been an accident inside the car. And so I texted Mike, and I said, "Can you come down, please?" And I got no response. And
I was on the phone.
I detected someone was in danger, though. I was in a studio, and I felt the tingle. Josh is in trouble somewhere.
Yeah, so then I saw Justin come downstairs, and he was able to rescue me.
Yeah, you know, you should have maybe barked for some help. I could think of nine other spots someone should have barked. I'm not sure, but someone who parked that close to you was really taken off the leash. That
apparently it was our promotions director, Lori.
Yeah, Lori parked a millimeter from your car. I mean, you couldn't have put a menu in between your two cars.
Now, were you able to squeeze into the driver's side, or you had to go past it? It was that tight,
buddy. I had to Dukes of Hazzard my ass through the passenger side, and Josh's center console. It's the tallest center console I've ever seen. It's like a jersey barrier made of plastic. So I got to chuck my dumb, meaty leg over that thing, slide in there. The car was very clean, by the way. You keep it nice.
Thank you.
And I slid over. I get in. I pop the thing in reverse. You'll also notice, because I'm a courteous gentleman, I didn't adjust your seat settings.
No, you can't do that.
But it felt like a child learning to drive a car. You are a larger man than I am. I am like this far back.
Now, I don't mean to cause any kind of controversy, but was Spiegel's car centered in the spot? Maybe he was off a little.
I looked just to be sure for this break, and Josh Spiegel was spot on.
Centered, okay.
Dead center. And even 6 to 7 inches on each side of
perfect,
the car.
Perfect parking job.
You couldn't have bullseyed that sumbitch any better. And I had to get in your car and back that thing out for you, which you just relied on a buddy, all right? But we didn't need the audience that was out there watching also. You got people that are like looking like, hey, what's happening over there? Was Josh not able to drive? No, Josh is a large, broad-shouldered man with legs like a mighty oak. He has to rely on his thin, spaghetti, angel hair, pasta-limbed friend to climb in the car.
And sometimes I don't know what to do in those situations. At first I realize I'm in a pickle and I just stand there frozen like a deer in headlights. As if just saying, you know, what do I do?
It was just dumb coincidence that I saw you, by the way. And you did. You were okay. Here's a little inside baseball. When you leave our studio, you walk out a back door that's like a spiral staircase thing to go out back. It's like if you decided to not take the elevator in a parking garage, you take those cement stairs. That's what we have. Midway down, there's a huge window, and I'm looking out the window, and Josh is out there looking. Like when Keith misplaces his keys. Like at the Ed Block Courage Award thing we did, I found Keith just wandering the parking lot because he couldn't find his car because his brain has just gone bad. I look out the window and I see Josh standing there in a state of distress and confusion, only to find out that it's not stress or confusion, it's someone has parked their car a post-it note thickness away from his.
Not someone, Lori.
Yeah, did you see the driver's side?
Yeah, I've
side
never
mirror.
Been, you know, sometimes you will, I pushed my driver's side window in just so that I could try to squeeze in. I couldn't even, because I would, if the driver's side, the rear view, what's the thing on the side? The side thing that sticks out. So I pushed that in to get close.
Driver's side mirror.
Yeah, it's just to attempt to get close to my door. And I couldn't really do it.
Well, did you notice that if you had flipped yours out and where hers was, those two are kissing.
Yeah.
If you'd have backed out and not folded that thing in, you're knocking yours clean off. You're knocking that thing right off.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we've all been in situations where somebody parks too close to our car, but this was insane. This was, we were right. We were kissing.
Yeah, there was obviously she didn't show up with anybody to work because there ain't nobody getting out of that passenger side.
You're damn right.
And that's on top of also getting an email. Speaking of parking lot talk, someone who will go unnamed sent an email about people parking, I guess, in handicap spots, which you should not do. Okay, thumbs down. But someone took photos of everyone's license plate that did it. and put together a dossier that was company-wide emailed to everyone.
And it's funny because they send Chris, it seems like Chris Chmielewski is the one that has to go down and take the photos, and then he forwards them to that person, and then that person blasts them to the whole company.
He's the trigger
man. If
this
is your car, call me.
Call me now.
I don't know why that strikes me as so odd. Like, it's... what is
spilling
it, Mike?
Tea?
Mike, you're good at very like digging into the minutiae of these things.
I thought it was the right amount of
overanalyze this, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Typically, I'm one to find issue with emails and stuff like that. I didn't have a problem with it. It was the right amount of sort of fear tactics with not really exposing anybody.
Also, this was not on a snow day. The one email that was sent, if this is your car, call me. Snow day, I get it. The spot with the blue handicap thing is covered.
I also don't want to say what I think it may have been because...
The Freemasons.
Well, no, there was a... Remember, there's been a few events here where there have been emails sent out like, hey, this afternoon, there's going to be more cars than usual here. Let's just say that. And, okay, I get you guys want to do these things, right? And there are going to be more cars than usual. You should probably account for that then.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't seem like they're doing.
No one ever uses those back 20 spots. Ever. Those ones where Jim Russ parks his, you know, the SS traffic. No one ever uses those. Just use those.
Yeah, we've had a few events here where, yeah, there's a lot of outside people coming to the building that normally won't be here. And then there's no spots for them. Especially if they're only using that little front lot. So then what are they supposed to do?
Parking garage. Solution. We need to build a two-level to three-level parking garage here. I think it's time we finally built the parking garage we've always wanted. Rick, we know budgets are coming up. Try and sneak that thing in, like the $15,000 toilet lid that the government loves to do. Say we have a new printer that needs cartridges for, and say the cartridges are $500,000, because we need a parking garage
or
here.
We need to start carpooling.
Nope.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So a story that Josh did earlier in the week that we had developments on later in the week that I'm not sure if it helped or hurt the argument against automation, but an automated Uber vehicle struck and killed a pedestrian in the road. It happened on Sunday. Josh covered it Monday. Gave us the details, and then a little later on that week, I think it was Thursday, the footage came out. The dash cam footage looking out over the hood when the impact happened and inside at the driver. And at first we were thinking, oh man, this is terrible. Robot cars killing people. But now you look at it and it seemed to be a real, I'm not going to say comedy of errors, but a horror of errors. Unproven automation, nighttime, someone that was crossing the street slow as hell, and a driver that seems to have been distracted by looking down at what appears to be a phone.
Well, look, I mean, they're going to have to account for this in the future, right? Because if they think that when these autonomous vehicles become more and more prevalent, that all these drivers are going to be sitting there paying attention, it's not going to happen.
As the automation gets better, the safety backup driver is going to get more relaxed.
Well, listen, we actually have vehicles now that we need to operate on a daily basis. We need to steer and drive and hit the gas and hit the brake. And we're still staring at our phones.
Yeah.
While we're supposed to be paying attention. Now put me in a vehicle that does all that by itself and I don't have to do it. Hell yeah, I'm going to be looking at my phone.
Yeah, I'm going to kick back. I'm going to take a nap. I mean, if you saw the new Blade Runner film, Blade Runner 2049, there's a scene where the cars are so automated in the future that the guy's in the front seat taking a 3-hour long nap.
Yeah.
As the car then just lets him know, we've arrived at our destination. And it ends in a horrible scene where he gets shot down by a bunch of weird scrap metal junkies. But still, I don't trust it yet. I don't think we're there. And Josh Spiegel covered it Monday and Thursday as an Uber driver that was behind the wheel of an automated car. The vehicle strikes and kills a pedestrian on Behind the Curtain. Josh, you did the story on Monday.
Yeah.
An unfortunate story. An Uber automated vehicle hits, kills a pedestrian. And we had the whole conversation. Is it too early for automation? Some people made the argument, no, automation helps the blind, the elderly, you know, those unable to drive a vehicle themselves. How did this happen? There was a driver in the car, but the car was doing the driving, and the video has come out. At JSS 98 Rock, if you'd like to watch, you'd like
or
to analyze.
Spiegel, or the app, Spiegel Links.
Spiegel Links, Spiegel's Thursday Links on the applicator. And we've seen it. We've broken it down. Where do you start with this? What are some of the factors that you looked at first? Because I got some thoughts on it.
Man, it's like it. Yeah, because you get the description in the story, right? When we give the story, and you're trying to
robot car kills person.
Well, you hear like she wasn't in a crosswalk; she was like in the middle of the road, and then but your mind forms a visual, right?
It fills in the blanks.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I had like a visual formed in my head of what it looked like, and then when you see it, you're like, this is a two-lane road going one way, and then there's a median. It looks like there's two lanes coming the other way, and this car is boogieing. It's going 40. It's in the right lane, and it's dark. It's nighttime.
Pitch black, and those are low beams, by the way.
Out of nowhere, there is a woman with a bike, and it is right in front of this car, and the car, I mean, it didn't even slow down. It just nails her. She ended up dying, as we know, and I don't know, man. It's a tough situation. Mike was saying that if he was in the car, if it was a driver driving, and I feel like, you know, having been in those conditions, it was just nighttime and you're the only car on the road. I feel like maybe you might have been able to
swerve
or see her in some way, shape, or form. Maybe a glint off of a reflector,
yeah,
or a moving shadow in the distance where you go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. What's that? Let me slow down or let me hit my brakes a little and maybe swerve. Even before, it just seems like this car didn't even detect her in the slightest. And I'm thinking maybe a human might have been able to. I don't know.
Well, here's the second part of that.
I'm talking out of my ass. No, that's what I do here.
It's what we do. Rampant speculation. The second part of this story, everything that Scott just said, you have a driver in the car. If it wasn't automated, maybe someone could have. And there was a backup. They're calling it backup drivers. There was a driver in this automated car. They were just in the driver's seat, but letting the car do the driving and the steering. So we see the footage, and it's looking dash cam style out of the window. But then the camera footage, at about, I'd say, 8 seconds into it, switches the interior view, and you see the driver. Oh. And the driver is looking straight down at their
on
phone.
On her phone.
On his or her phone, having trouble telling.
Boy,
that's a 50-50 shot there. And can't tell. Whatever they identify as, that's what you are. And I'll tell you what you definitely are is distracted as F. Because yeah. I think you're right. If that person is in the car and their eyes are forward, I don't know if you could have braked in time, but I think you could have swerved.
Yeah,
are buried in their
Mike,
phone.
Mike, you can even dial that back a few frames. I get what you're trying to do, and you can see the distance. Right? Look, you still see.
Right there.
I mean, come on.
That's a lot of
a human
space.
Paying attention would absolutely
I think
time
so.
To swerve or brake.
I
or
think
both.
So. At 40 miles an hour, I think you might have been able to just, you might have still even clipped the person, or, but you, I think you might have been able to make some sort of evasive action.
410-338-1098. 410-338-1098. If you've seen it, you want to chime in. I think you're right. I'm not sure about a break, but I think evasiveness. So does this go from automated car issue to distracted driver issue?
There were a couple of experts on automated driving cars, and they said that this looks like some major failures on Uber's part, because the pedestrian should have been within range of the SUV's laser and radar sensors.
Right.
So there are all these questions about whether the system even works as it's described.
Yeah, because this car, this robot car that was under the control of these autonomous robot computers, didn't do anything. It just plowed right through this woman.
And in the footage we have at Josh Spiegel's link, it shows the moment of impact, but it's nothing gory. It's nothing. It's still unsettling to watch, but it shows right the moment that the bumper touches the bike and the woman. And I know on my car, I have a sensor that the car starts to scream if I'm getting close to something. I don't have the automatic braking, but the whole damn thing starts to light up. And I know there are other cars. I know you have that. There's like a Volvo, a Subaru, a BMW that does it that will automatically stop itself. But those sensors are so easily covered up with road grime. I have a little alert on my car right now saying front-facing radar is impacted, and it's all just because of the snow and the salt and the grime on the road. Just a little bit of funk gets on one of those things, and it doesn't recognize at all anymore how close it is to an object that it can impact with.
And not to attack the pedestrian in this situation, but she appears to be one of these pedestrians that crosses the road and just dares you to hit them. Because she doesn't even look back. Like, I put some of the fault on her for not, you know,
the
paying attention.
The woman is dead.
Right.
Mike, come on.
But I'm just saying, you know, there was error there as well. I mean,
you shouldn't be crossing a major highway in the middle pitch blackness of night with your bike. It's 0 miles per hour.
Expecting people to see you and slow down and evade you.
But the footage, man, if you watch this and you see at the last minute, that driver looks up and their eyes just get as wide as saucers because they realize, oh, man, I've hit some. They are buried in their phone.
I'm watching.
There's now there's a question about the driver. They haven't figured out whether this guy, Rafael Vasquez, a 44-year-old guy.
Oh, that's a dude.
That's a man.
Okay. Yeah, if he's the same guy whose name showed up in criminal records. He spent more than 4 years in prison for two felonies, making false statements when obtaining unemployment benefits.
And finishing your food without asking by the looks of it.
And attempted armed robbery. But Uber has a policy of banning drivers convicted of violent crimes or felonies within the past 7 years, but he would have passed. But still, should he have passed?
And let's not all pretend we're saints. We know that we're in the road, and to get the missus or the mister, text you real quick. You're on your way. I am real quick. Don't type a novel. Don't text and drive at all. But we know you're gonna.
What
let's
was
just
the
be
nature
real.
Of this Uber trip, Spiegel? What was the car doing? Was it a test?
Yeah,
it says Uber suspends self-driving car. I just don't know what.
And I don't think there was a passenger. It doesn't look like there's a passenger. The car is very dark inside, except for like the infrared light coming off dash cam. But this
interior video is go to Spiegel's Thursday links, 98online.com and on the app. It's the footage is just the last second, like you said, when his mouth drops and his eyes open. And
your life just changed.
It just sucks all around.
Forever. So, yeah, I think this is a lot more complicated than what we initially thought on Monday, which is all, automated cars going crazy and killing people. I think this is a heavy dose of distracted driver. Let's go to Jack and Severn. Jack, good morning. Have you seen the footage of the Uber car?
It's definitely hard to watch.
It is.
Like I said, I've called in before, and I am a Uber driver part-time, I will never in a million years drive one of these, you know, self-driving cars, especially, you know, that late at night. Why are you in self-driving mode anyway? You know, are you on your way to pick someone up? Did you just drop someone off? At that point, you should be 100% in control of the vehicle.
All right, there we go.
It's a heavy dose of distracted driving. Yeah, I tell people all the time, you know, don't text and drive, you know, being, you know, former fire department. But come on, man. You know, I think it's going to bite the big one here.
All right. Thank you for the call, buddy. Stay safe. Keep off the phone while you drive. Let's go to Richard in Dundalk. Richard, good morning. Tricky Rich will come back to you. I think you might have taken another call.
It says
call.
That he's considered a safety driver. I guess this was just an Uber that you could hire.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy behind the wheel, but he's not really driving it. They're like beta testing these things. It says these Uber drivers are charged with monitoring the technology and keeping alert, ready to take control of the vehicle at any moment. And this guy was just on his phone. He was just...
You could see the glow of the phone coming off of the lap.
I still can't believe that's a man.
That is a real... That's a flip of the coin there. Blind Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, man.
This is, like you said, a very complicated situation for several reasons. First of all, this technology is not ready for it to be put into place because of what you just saw. And secondly, the driver needs to be paying attention. And this is something else to consider. And I know that the National Federation of the Blind for a while was working to test some of these kind of vehicles. My first question is it an are they electric cars or are they combustible engines?
No, it's just a Volvo SUV.
No.
Because one of the things that the NFB was really concerned about is with electrical vehicles, you can't hear them coming the way that you can a combustible engine. So if these are, you know, if you've got somebody such as myself or another blind person who's crossing the street, they're not going to hear the car
coming. Look, here's the thing. It's like when you really stop and think about this, okay, look, it sucks, but one person died. Okay, one person.
Yeah.
And if we're to make any advancements in this world, I'm sorry, but people are going to have to die along the way, right?
It's
to think that no one's going to die is foolish. Anything we've ever tried to do in this world or accidents that have happened that have led to change have resulted in people dying. I mean, we didn't have shoulder belts for a long time. We just had lap belts. They figured out after years and years and years that, hey, those aren't the smartest, the smartest things. They're not the safest things. Let's get shoulder belts. Whatever. Things like the Industrial Revolution, where we've, tried to, build railroads and stuff like that. People have died along the way, and we pushed boundaries and tried to get new technologies, go into space.
Yeah, like, you remember John Glenn? John Glenn had the funniest interview. I think it was Glenn or Shepard. I think it might have been Glenn. Glenn had this hilarious quote right when he was about to take off in this this big rocket. Craft that a reporter shoves a microphone in his face and goes, what are you most concerned about? And he looks back and goes, that who built this? Whoever the cheapest bidder was.
Right.
He's like, I'm about to be strapped inside of this thing that we got a deal on as they launch my ass into space. So whoever's going to be making these things for Uber is probably going to be whoever they got the best deal with. That's scary. So for now, like Mike said earlier, we're all carpooling.